Welcome back, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to my latest podcast. And wow, what a week. Lots and lots going on. But don't you feel like you're saying that every week? Because I do feel like that very, very often. There's just so much going on all the time between myself and my husband, the kids, business, family, friends. It's just a never-ending cycle, which can sometimes be a little bit overwhelming. So where do I start with this week? Maybe just by saying I finally had got a job interview. Yay! It actually went really well, and now I'm waiting to hear back about the next stage of the interview cycle. I actually am not fully qualified for the job. I don't have the experience in the area that I've applied for officially, but I have actually done most of the job tasks within other roles that I've done. So I'm hoping that they will at least give me a chance to go for another interview, and then hopefully something will come out of that. It was really good actually dealing with she was a great HR person and someone who conducted the interview really well. It was just a phone interview, which is a little bit daunting too, because you know that you're being really heavily scrutinized on, you know, the way that you're answering your questions. There's no, I guess, physical part of it, which is also important, I think, when you're answering questions. But I think it went well, all in all, and the feedback I got was quite positive. So I am looking forward to hearing whether or not I've made it to the next stage. In terms of the podcast itself, I wanted to say thank you to everyone who has listened and provided feedback. And for those of you who do know me, know that this is a new venture for myself and just something, stepping out of my comfort zone a little bit. I do love to talk, we all know that, but taping myself is, you know, a challenge in itself. Listening back to your own voice and actually having to stand by, I guess, the words that you say, there's a recording of them, and your thoughts are, you know, I guess it's like a diary, isn't it? So everything I think at the moment, you know, is being recorded, and then I can listen back to it at any stage, which is a little bit scary, to be honest. but I'm going to go with it and hope for the best. And I really encourage you to provide feedback. And I have bumped into a few people who, have received a few posts from people who really just post or say, I've listened, but don't provide really any feedback, positive or negative. That's fine too, but that always leads me to believe they didn't really enjoy it very much, which again, it's not going to be everyone's cup of tea. But for some people, it really did resonate, and I had some really, really great feedback from some mums that I know from school who talked about the fact that, you know, they felt very closely aligned with how I'm feeling at the moment. And funnily enough, you know, probably around the same age, in the same situation, being at home with kids and just trying to find our way back into the real world. And I guess, you know, one of the things that's come up for me really is, you know, the way that different friends respond or, you know, deal with, you know, you changing and your life changing. And I know over the years, you know, having quite a lot of friends that I've had since childhood, that has been a struggle with some of my friendships, because, you know, we've done things at different stages. And so sometimes when you're watching someone doing something completely different to you, it is difficult to really align yourself with them and understand how you can still maintain a friendship and coordinate things together when you're living in such different worlds. But I guess from experience, I can tell you that it is definitely possible. And, you know, some of the friendships, and I have to, you know, reiterate, a lot of the friendships I have are from childhood. So, you know, we've been able to maintain friendships for almost 40 years, which is amazing in itself. Some 30, some 20, and obviously I've got a lot of new friends who I've made through kindergarten and school and job and all of those things. But, every different sort of level of friendship brings something different into my life and something that, I would not want to give up. I think, it's interesting when I look at people around them who really don't have a lot of friends and a lot of friendship groups. And I can see that, a lot of them have quite a close family connection. So sometimes they don't really have a lot of time for friendships. But there are also other people who choose because it's just of a lack of trust or a lack of time or the fact that they're not really interested in sharing their, day to day or, things that come up with them, with anyone. But I'm definitely not one that falls into that category. I am literally surrounded by people that I love and that I really do believe they love me back, and all in different ways, obviously. So, and some more than others, obviously. But it's funny when I haven't seen a certain friend for some time and I see them and, honestly, I can't wipe the smile off my face because I've missed them so much and can't wait to hear about what's been going on with them and what's happened and how they're feeling and anything new and what are the new plans and all of those things. And, sometimes people can mistake that as being a busybody or nosy, or I don't know what the words people put around it are, but I'm honestly just interested in people. I'm interested in my friends. And obviously sometimes I don't have the time or the energy to be able to fulfill, that part of myself. But when I do, I definitely take advantage. And, there's little running jokes about me being the investigator and me being, but again, that's because I ask a lot of questions, about family, about work, about friends, and about feelings. And I do struggle sometimes when I find that, there are some people who, keep a lot of stuff to themselves when they're going through hard times, and you only sort of find out about it once it's all over and once they've recovered on their own, And I do feel for them. I feel for them for the fact that I wish they could have had that ear or that shoulder, because I know how much that helps me, just being able to, vent and have a bit of a whinge and, basically tell someone that that day you want to, punch someone in the face, and you won't ever do it. It's just that idea of venting and letting off some steam and it being forgotten the next day, which again reminds me about this is being recorded. So I guess the beauty of having friendships is you get to have your vent. And hopefully if they're a good friend, they'll never bring it up again unless you want them to. And I have prided myself in doing that. I have a lot of friendships, as I said, that are very, very long-standing friendships where just through different phases in our lives, there are things that have happened or been said or, things that have just affected us negatively and positively. And I really try not to bring them up again unless I get the okay to, because I don't ever want to make someone relive something from their past that they don't want to, really. So I guess one of the things I really wanted to talk today about today was friendships, because I think in the last, week or two, just, again, watching how people are responding to me starting something new and providing feedback and providing support and asking questions and all of that. And also just, telling me, that they enjoy listening to things that I have to talk about with them and how much I've helped certain people over the years. I've also had a very close friend of mine have a very tragic loss in her family, and you know, she's someone that I've, you know, known my whole life, and someone that I have, you know, even though distance sort of separates us, we have really shared all of the milestones in our lives and continue to every day. And it's one of those things where when you can't be there to give someone a hug, and you can't be there to actually, I guess, you know, just be that shoulder, it's actually really nice to have that connection with someone, because, you know, sometimes all it takes is just a message to say, I'm thinking of you, or I hope you're okay, or whatever it is, because we all know that we can't really change what's happened or things that are happening. But what we can change is, I guess, the impact we can have on someone's life. So sending my love to my close friend, and hoping that this this next part of the journey is one that, you know, she gets through with strength and love and support from all the people around her. And I guess one of the things that it's made me think about a lot is, you know, a lot of the friends that I do have around me are getting, we're all getting to that age now, I guess, where, you know, there are things going on in our lives, including, you know, the loss of parents, and, you know, people are moving. And when I say moving, I mean moving to other countries or other places where they're not really part of, you know, your life anymore. And they're all things that, you know, being 40 or turning 40 has really, I guess, cemented for me that we're not in the kid zone anymore. We're definitely moved on to, you know, real adult life. And I think while I was in my 30s, I still felt, I guess, that I could get away with claiming not to have known that. I didn't know, I didn't realize, I didn't understand, I'm still young. I never really said those words, but I felt like I could make that claim. Whereas I think now that I am turning 40 this year, I don't think that claim is viable anymore. Like, I think I really have realized that there's a time and a place, and at this point in time, you have to take accountability, responsibility. And if you stuff up, you have to apologize. You have to let people know that you're only human, you've made a mistake, etc. And I guess that's one thing that, you know, over the last few years for me has been really prevalent in my friendships. You know, I've made mistakes, and I've had people that have made mistakes that have impacted me. And it's amazing how by apologizing and by talking things through, understanding someone's intention, viewpoint, you know, it can either make or break a relationship. And, you know, some relationships, you know, stand the test of time, and no matter what's thrown at you, you seem to somehow bounce back from it. Whereas others, I think that once challenged, you know, you really do get to see what someone's, I guess, intentions are or were. And sometimes they just don't align with yours anymore, and then you just move on, I guess. And it's a shame that those things can't realign at some point. But again, you know, it just leaves room for new relationships and new friendships, which, you know, I'm very open to. And, you know, some of the new friendships that I've made, particularly since kinder and primary school, and obviously with myself, I have four boys. So I had quite a few years consecutively of kinder and primary school starts. And through those years, I've met some really amazing people, mums and dads, mostly mums. And I've been able to establish some really good sort of heart friendships with people, and people that, you know, I guess I, you know, our paths never would have crossed if it wasn't for our children. But I feel like my kids picked people for me, if that makes sense. So, and I have actually heard that from quite a few people, that the kids, the friends that their kids gravitate to, they find that they actually really enjoy the parents as well. So I wonder if there's something in that. I wonder if there's something in the way, you know, people that are aligned with you, I guess, raise their kids in a similar way, which means that maybe they attract to each other. I'm not sure. But it's something that definitely, like for myself, over the years, I've definitely felt that alignment. That when my child normally says, oh, they found a new friend, or can they have someone over for a play date? You know, very quickly after meeting their parent, I realize that normally we get along very well. We have things in common. We have, you know, similar outlooks on life and, you know, respect and all of those things. So, I mean, that's a really interesting part of, I guess, in the last 10 years with some of the friendships that I've gained and developed that I have found really interesting. And they're friends that, even though I may not see them weekly, like we do definitely catch up regularly, and we share things at a heart level. So we know all about each other's good times and bad times, and have supported each other through things that, you know, maybe some of our other friends that we've known longer don't even know about. But we're just in that phase together where our kids are at the same age and we're aligned in what we're doing. And so it's easier for us to share, I guess, that sort of stuff. And then I guess what I've, you know, I've realized, as I said, with turning 40 this year, and I have been thinking about, I've thought about starting to plan a birthday party. I know it's early because my birthday's in November, but I just thought I might get a bit of a head start, because I'd love for it to be, you know, just as good as the first time I turned 40. But I know that's pretty much impossible, but I'd be very close, I think. I could, you know, really, really put in a good effort. And in thinking about that party, I guess, I was thinking about who I would invite, and it really did make me look at my guest list and my friend list, if you want to call it that. And it was just interesting, you know, I come from like a Bosnian background, and was very heavily involved in the community from a cultural and religious perspective, you know, for most of my life. And it was a very small community when I was growing up, so we all kind of knew each other. And if we didn't really know each other personally, we definitely knew each other's names, surnames, parents, etc. And I was kind of looking at my friends list, and I was actually quite surprised at how many, you know, Bosnians I had on there, because I had, you know, a lot of Bosnians. Some Bosnians that I see, you know, very regularly, and others that I haven't seen in a long time, but, you know, couldn't imagine celebrating something, you know, to that level and not having them involved. And I was just actually thinking about, you know, like what it means to come from a similar, you know, background and similar understanding. And I sort of did mention that when it came to school in my last podcast, but I think I've realized that it impacts a lot more. Including, you know, how we celebrate, how we share, you know, how we mourn, you know, and how we, I guess, make plans for our lives. And I struggle sometimes because I can see how different we all are, you know, like my friends and I. Even though we've, you know, got the same culture background and religious background, etc., we're all so, so different. But there are some things that are just ingrained in us when it comes to our families and our futures and the expectations we have for ourselves. And I wonder then, I guess, what impact that's going to have on our children. You know, we had an incident recently where we were at a party, and There were some teenage girls there, and some of the teenage girls were approached by some, you know, teenage boys, sort of just wanting to have a bit of a flirt and a bit of a chit chat. And when the girls actually came back to sort of talk about what had happened, one of the comments that one of the girls made was, you know, they weren't even Bosnian. And I just thought that was funny because, you know, back in my day, there was no chance you would meet a Bosnian, because unless you were at a Bosnian event or function, because there were so little of us, you know, whereas now I guess there are so many more of us that there is an expectation that, you know, even when you're out and about doing your sort of normal daily things, you might bump into a Bosnian, which I think is just cute and funny and something that I never really even thought about before. But it is a whole different landscape now to when we were growing up. You know, we used to say Bosnian and people would say, what? Where? Where's that? Still get that occasionally. But generally now when you say that, people will say things like, oh, yeah, that's somewhere near Croatia, or is that former Yugoslavia? Or, you know, they have an informed, I guess, idea of where it is at least, even if they don't know anything about it. So that's just, I just thought that was interesting just to even listen to how, you know, the young people, I guess, have a whole different, you know, view than we used to have. For us, we knew that on a Saturday night, if we were taken to a dinner dance, you know, which in our culture was called a zabava, you know, there was a chance you might see a cute boy or girl or whatever, and you might strike up some friendships and relationships. But other than that, there was really no chance of you meeting anyone Bosnian, unless they were your family, of course. And, you know, now even with my friendships that I've had for many years, you know, when we celebrate our birthdays and celebrate, and basically you just putting a whole room of Bosnians together, it ends up being quite a big event every time there's a party or get together, because it's not just for the kids, it's also for us to catch up and get together and have something good to eat and drink and coffee and chit chat and dessert and et cetera, et cetera. And it ends up always being quite a big affair for every event that we celebrate. So although it's great from a social perspective, it is definitely a lot of hard work. So there's no small parties in our life. It's always quite extravagant and quite demanding, but always lots of fun. Always goes a lot longer than you expected. but it's always, again, something that you reflect on and are glad that you did, because, you know, you've been surrounded by people you love and people who want to be there for your children or for yourself, or and who you want around, I guess. I'll touch on the other types of friendships and other relationships in another podcast. I have, you know, quite a bit on this week and quite a bit to get through. So some of the things that are coming up for me this week are, at high school we have our interim reports and parent-teacher type interviews. So being, you know, last year was my first year as a high school mum, I had no idea. I completely forgot the fact that I would have to actually sit with each and every teacher. So you have like these, I think it's 5 or 7 minute time slots with 8, 9 teachers, however many subjects there are, just to get an insight on, you know, your child and where they fit, what the teacher's impression is, I guess, of your child initially. And it's a really good opportunity to set some expectations, ground rules. And I love to go in there really setting my child up to be challenged. So normally I talk about the fact that I really want my child to feel challenged and not bored. I want them to try and extend my child and not, you know, not just accept the bare minimum. So it's a really good opportunity to build that relationship with the teacher, where they can see that you as a parent has expectations of your child, you know, to do really well and to excel. And when I say excel, I don't mean that they're going to be the top of the class in every instance. What I mean is excel for themselves. So, you know, if they've already come in there knowing the alphabet, why would that be something that they would constantly want to be tested on? You know, the next part of that. So what is the challenge for them? So once they know that, what's the next expectation? And when they hit that expectation, it's like a little bit of a reward and a celebration, I guess. And I find with my oldest, because obviously him going through things first, I'm learning a lot. And last year, you know, when he sort of started being in term one, I think, you know, going from that primary school structure to high school structure, he was a little bit lost. Like I feel like, you know, he knew where he stood in primary school and what the expectation was. And when he got to high school, I think he really just did the bare minimum, thinking that that would get him through fine. And after getting his first interim report and having a chat to his teachers, you know, everything changed for him. And, you know, he extended himself. His teachers supported him in doing that. And obviously I tried to support him as much as I could at home with doing that, and encouraged him by, you know, really just talking about his achievements with my husband and the other children, and also like being able to, you know, ask him to share on a regular basis what are some of the challenges he had coming up, etc. So it's, you know, I've learned a lot just from having much, you know, my son in year seven. So I do feel much better prepared this year to go in there and actually chat to the teachers next week. And again, to go in there and actually say, you know, he wants that too, which, you know, obviously helps. But it's all about saying to the teachers, you know, listen, you know, we want to learn more. We want to get as much as we can out of the time that we have here. And, you know, what can you do to help us achieve that? And I think by going in with that attitude, normally I think it energizes the teachers as well. Any teachers out there can provide feedback on that. But from the feedback I've received, I mean, so far, even at the primary school level, teachers knowing that, you know, you're up for that, you know, really does change the dynamic they have with your child as well as yourself. Because I think, you know, complaining about how much homework or complaining about how hard things are, you know, doesn't really change anything. But actually, you know, and this is again some feedback I gave to my son when he was struggling with a subject or a topic at school. And I asked him whether he had let the teacher know or asked the teacher for help. And he looked at me like quite shocked, as in, can you do that at high school? Like, it was actually a look of shock. And I said to him, if the teacher knows that, you know, where you're at and what you're not understanding, then it may take them 2 minutes, you know, to go through it with you in another way and you'll get it. And that's exactly what happened. And again, from that point onwards, you know, I think the teacher realized that, I don't know, he was in it. He was there to, you know, do what he could and be, you know, do as well as he could, and that we would support him with that. So that's something that we've got coming up, you know, next week, which is, I've just booked all of that in, which is, again, they've made it actually very easy, you know, where you can actually look at the teacher's availabilities and the time slots available and sort of book in one slot after another. So hopefully, you know, that's all scheduled in now, and then we can, I guess, set up for the rest of this year. He's had a pretty good start, and, you know, we've worked out a new reward system to try and encourage him to do, you know, even better. And it seems to be really, I guess, engaging for him, and he's interested in learning. And now I guess I need to sort of refocus a little bit on my primary kids. I had their parent teachers a few weeks ago, and because they're all teachers that I've had previously in other years, and I've already got a fairly good relationship with them, and they already do know my kids to a certain point. You know, it was a really good conversation where we could actually talk about you know, what are some of the things that we can set as challenges for the kids, and what are some of the expectations we have? Because I think, again, you know, telling kids that, you know, they are smart, they are, you know, really capable, telling them that, you know they can do it, I think it goes a long way. And I've been watching my little one who had some struggles with, you know, just really basic sort of alphabet recognition and letter recognition. And like, I really was worried. It was one of those things where I just didn't know how that would progress. And just watching him flourish, and now, you know, watching him sort of walk around, you know, when we go out and read signs of on shops and read, you know, read. The other day he got a note from school, and he actually read, you know, all of the parent information, and there was only one word he was unable to recognize. And I mean, you know, that's in less than a year. There's been like a complete, you know, 360. And so, you know, using some of the resources available to me, like the stuff at school where they do all the extra, so there's extra reading and extra helpers that come in and actually do stuff with your child, obviously doing all the stuff at home that we can, and interchanging it. So my husband doing stuff and myself, and also some of my kids, just, you know, giving him their feedback or telling them ways that they've done things. But most importantly, I think, was, you know, signing him up for Kumon. And really sticking to it, because it's been difficult for him. It's been quite challenging for him to stick with it. He hasn't, you know, generally, actually, I could say 70% of the time he actually does enjoy it. But that other 30% is a real challenge. And, you know, one of the things with Kumon is doing a book every single day. And, you know, even just having to get him to sit down and actually focus for that 10, 15 minutes and do a book. But you know what? It's definitely made a difference. And I actually have a meeting scheduled with, you know, his Kumon teacher on Thursday night to go over, because apparently he's gone up a level. So I'm really interested to see how far he's come since he started. So, you know, part of the process, I think, is initially testing them, and whatever grade level they're tested at, they actually put them back one level, and then they really, I guess, cement any learning that they've already established before they move on to the next stage. So I am really interested to see how far he's come and what goals she has set for him and how quickly she thinks he can get there. Because not only, you know, obviously the fact that he can actually read now is amazing, but the confidence that it gives him, because I think previously he had to constantly ask everyone, what does that say? What does that mean? What is that? So the confidence he's gotten just from being able to do that for himself. And yeah, I really, really highly recommend anyone who's having, you know, I guess some struggles, basically to look into ways of helping them. Kumon is just one of those ways, which has definitely worked for myself. But I would really, really highly recommend that you don't just rely on the school system, because we all know how, I guess, you know, the ratio of children to parents, you know, the number of children with, you know, special help required, etc. It's all increased so much that, you know, if your child does need some help, they can easily slip through the gaps. So taking it, you know, on yourself to actually, you know, do what you need to do in their early years, I think will build their confidence. And, I, you know, in saying that, I can definitely see how that happened with my oldest child. So he also did a Kumon period when he was in maybe grade 2. And his was really used to help him increase his speed. So a lot of the work he was doing, he was actually doing correctly, but it was just taking too long. So he wasn't actually getting through tasks. He wasn't getting through tests. So at every point when they were marking, they would mark him two ways. They would say, you know, of the 50% that he did, he got 100% right. But in effect, he's only, you know, got 25% or whatever it is. So it was really an indication to me that that was something I needed to help him with. So by doing Kumon, what it did for him was it really taught him that that instant recognition. And so he just quickly turned things around. And when I say quickly, it was probably about a 12-month period that he was actually going to Kumon. But the difference in his actual work happened fairly quickly. And, you know, in the end, I guess one of the things that really changed was his confidence, because, you know, he basically was keeping up with everyone and he was actually probably ahead. And in most cases, I should say he was ahead. And that confidence that comes with that of, you know, being one to finish and have to wait and knowing the answers to things and being able to answer quickly is something that I'm really glad that we did. And I do see how it impacted, you know, the rest of his primary school days, but in effect, you know, his whole educational career, because he's very motivated and wants to get things done. And so I hope that continues. We're only in year eight, so fingers crossed. I was going to try and keep today's podcast a bit shorter than last week's. I think that it probably was a little too long. I'd like feedback on that as well. So I'm going to finish up for today. But I do intend on actually doing another podcast possibly on the weekend or later in the week. So I'll probably be aiming for 2 half-an-hour podcasts per week. And again, I'd love feedback, and if you don't feel comfortable putting it straight on my page, just private message me. I have requested from some of the feedback that I've got if I can then post it onto the page. I haven't done that yet, but I do intend on doing that, because some of it I think is just, you know, exactly aligned with why I wanted to do this. So thanks again for listening. I hope that you have found some value and enjoyment in listening today. And I hope to have you back on have your listening ears back on next week or later in the week. Thanks again.